Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah, right!
Quirk on this January the 28th. We are less than a week away from National Signing Day and things are popping. I want to start this podcast to kind of clear the air on something. There were some reports out this morning that perhaps Ole Miss running back commit Devon Penamon would not be taking his official visit to Oxford this weekend. I'll report to you now that I just spoke with Devon about 20 minutes ago. He says he is coming to Oxford on his official visit. Been some concern that Texas A&M and Alabama may have moved into the picture late, but as of right now, Devon Penamon confirming to Rebels 247 that he will, in fact, be in Oxford this weekend, arriving on Friday for his official visit. So, as you can see, things are changing drastically. And it's not that there are bad reports out there. It's just that sometimes during this point of the recruiting cycle, things change so very, very quickly. Sometimes it changes with the prospect. Sometimes it changes with the school. It's kind of a butterfly effect, if you will, where something that may happen in regards to a school's class in Florida may affect something that's going to happen in Texas, and it changes everything up. The ground is constantly moving beneath your feet. So keep that in mind as we go forward all the way up to next Wednesday, and we're going to effort to give you the best picture that we possibly can of what this Ole Miss signing class will end up looking like. Now, guys, the storyline that's kind of been dominating the last couple of days is all of the stuff, and I would have told you guys some 2 months ago that I would have expected Ole Miss to only land one more in-state commit, and that would have been Jeffrey Simmons out of Noxubee County. We go back to that ground moving beneath our feet all the time. Now, all of a sudden, heading into the final big visit weekend of the year, of this cycle, the Rebels are in the mix for at least three more Mississippians. And they are Starkville defensive tackle Kobe Jones, Starkville wide receiver A.J. Brown, and Germantown cornerback Nigel Knight. All three of those guys will be on the Ole Miss campus this weekend for their official visits. And who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I posted on The Rise today what my latest intel is, and it is that Ole Miss is in on all three of them. Some Ole Miss sources tell me that they believe the Rebels lead for Nigel Knight. Some Ole Miss sources tell me they believe that they lead for Kobe Jones. The problem with that, of course, being you got to get through signing day. And Kobe Jones and A.J. Brown, which I think is a battle between Ole Miss and Alabama for A.J. Brown, particularly after talking to some Mississippi State sources this morning. They live in Starkville. And, I mean, that's the thing. You know, when they wake up next Wednesday, National Signing Day, do they sign to play their college football somewhere other than the school in which they grew up in the shadows in? And, Michael, you're an astute observer. I mean, what's your take? What's wrong with my take? Am I right? Am I wrong on these Mississippi kids going into the final weekend? I feel very good about Ole Miss and Jeffrey Simmons. I feel good about Ole Miss and Nigel Knight. And then with A.J. Brown and Kobe Jones, you have to look at them like they would be icing on the cake for Ole Miss in this 2016 class if they get them. But I just can't yet force myself to take that leap of faith, jump off the ledge, and say they're going to be Rebels yet. Michael, what's your take?
I think when you look at Kobe Jones and sort of where his behavior has been leading up to National Signing Day, that it looks like he's trying to stay in Starkville for as little amount of time as possible before it all ends, that he goes from Miami and then just a quick pit stop back home before going straight up to Mizzou, and then coming from Mizzou right to Ole Miss, and then right after Ole Miss is a dead period. It looks like he's not leaving himself a lot of time to be swayed by local pressure as time gets close. And I think I may just be reading too much into it, but to me it sort of seems like a sign that he may be looking to leave Starkville, and he's sort of, you know, not allowing that amount of time for anyone to come in 11th hour on him. And
I will interject, if I may, that there are reports that Mississippi State was in his home last night, that they did find that window of opportunity in which to get in there. If they went last night, I don't think they can be back Sunday night when he returns from Oxford. So, you know, that may have been their last face-to-face opportunity with Kobe Jones. I'm not sure about that, but it could possibly be because, you know, he's in Missouri now by all accounts. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's going to be in Oxford. So I just wanted to interject that. State did see him last night, according to reports. Go ahead, Mike.
And then when it comes to A.J. Brown, it sort of seems like a lot of folks around Ole Miss weren't very confident in A.J. Brown becoming a Rebel, but a lot of State fans and a lot of Alabama fans and a lot of folks close to both those programs were confident in their chances. And now it seems though Alabama's pretty confident and Mississippi State's confidence is waning around Starkville, and the confidence in Oxford sort of going a little bit up. That's certainly going to be one to watch, because it's trending in three different directions. You don't know where that one's going to end up. But honestly, I could see either Brown or Jones signing elsewhere. If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said absolutely no chance either of those guys leave the county lines. But now it's sort of trending that way. And when it comes to Nigel Knott, you saw the crystal balls rolling in last night. You've seen some very cryptic tweets from him. And it didn't appear as though he was showing Ole Miss a lot of love. It was more towards Oregon and Bama and Mississippi State and Florida State for a while. But lately, it's been a lot of Ole Miss stuff. And getting the last crack at Nigel Knott this weekend, I think it's very possible that Ole Miss could sign more than just one more in-state player.
I agree with that. And Dave, what Michael said, exactly right. Perhaps some cryptic tweeting from Nigel Knott. He has tweeted out this week that he's going to be celebrating his birthday in the city in which he was born. When he leaves Ole Miss on Sunday, as of right now, as we understand it, his plans are to announce his commitment on Monday, which is his birthday. Now, there's a situation right here where Ole Miss is obviously recruiting Shyam Carter as well as Nigel Knott, both cornerbacks. Will they take them both? I got to think they will, guys, at this point, in that Knott is such a highly regarded Mississippi talent. Carter may be the guy that they have their sights set highest on. If it breaks for them, I really don't see them turning away either one of those guys. I think they take them both. I think Alabama would take them both, very talented, highly rated cornerbacks. But, Dave, the ground, as we like to talk about all the time, has shifted in terms of what the dynamics that we expected to be inside the state of Mississippi, because I'll tell you, I really thought Mississippi State was in a position to finish strong inside the Magnolia State. And the reason I thought that was that they would be getting commitments. And then I go back, this is, you know, let's say 30 days ago, I thought they'd get A.J. Brown. I thought they were going to get Kobe Jones. I know they're going to get Scott Lashley. And honestly, at one point, I thought Nigel Knott was leaning towards Mississippi State as well. But something has transpired. Something has happened. And a good indicator, Dave and Michael, is what you saw last night where Raekwon Davis reconfirmed his commitment to Alabama and basically said the process is over. Now, it was via Twitter, and we know Raekwon's had a history with some tweets, but no follow-up tweet that anybody had stole the phone or hacked the Twitter account. So it looks like he is sold on being a Crimson Tide or And the reason I say that may be an indicator is all those kids live close together. Meridian's not very far from Starkville. Macon's not far from Starkville and not far from Meridian. And you know, there's one that's off the table for Mississippi State at this point. But the point being that over the course of the last few weeks, things have changed drastically. Could they change again by next Wednesday? Heck yeah, they could, Dave.
You're right. It's less than a week away from National Signing Day, and as you pointed out, David, a 24-hour span could seem like an eternity in regards to recruiting heading into National Signing Day, because it could be a completely different story the next day. And just to reiterate what both of y'all have been saying about the in-state prospects, I agree. You know, if you were to ask me a month or two ago, I would say, yeah, it could come down to just one more prospect for the Rebels inside the walls of Mississippi. And now that's not looking the case. You know, if we go back and look at this time last year over the summer months, I mean, it just did not seem realistic that, you know, A.J. Brown, Kobe Jones, those guys were, or even Nigel Knott were, you know, potential Ole Miss leans, or that Ole Miss was even, you know, fully in the run with those guys. And now we're heading into, you know, the last part of the stretch going into National Signing Day, and Ole Miss is, you know, appearing to be in the thick of things. And, you know, I would have guessed, you know, this time around the summer, you know, last summer, that, you know, Mississippi State could have had a commitment or two within these top remaining prospects within, you know, inside Mississippi. And that hasn't been the case. A lot of them, even, you know, Scott Lashley, who has, you know, out of West Point, a highly rated offensive tackle who has been a Mississippi State lean for the longest, you know, now it's looking like he's going to take this all the way down to the wire on National Signing Day as well.
Yeah, Michael, and Dave makes a very good point there. And you've been able to see this from the Ole Miss perspective. Look at what Shea Patterson has done for this Ole Miss class by jumping on board early. And it hasn't just been Shea. All of these guys who have been on board early have been helping build their own class. And you know, so you would think, as Dave said, a guy like Scott Lashley, who everybody expects to sign with Mississippi State on signing day, who is related to one of their greatest football players ever, Johnny Cooks, the linebacker out of Leland, Mississippi, why didn't they have some of these guys jump on board early, like Ole Miss did, to help them build that class? Because I think Dave made an excellent point there. I mean, Lashley is going to take an official visit, I believe, to LSU this weekend. So, mm-hmm. Nothing from him, no help from him until signing day. Obviously, A.J. Brown and Kobe Jones, even if they end up at Mississippi State, I mean, could you imagine the help they could have generated for Dan Mullen and this struggling class that they're putting together down in Starkville right now if they'd been on board early? Michael, what's your take on that? I mean, didn't that hurt Mississippi State in this process, whether they land these guys or not? Didn't that hurt the Bulldogs?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a snowball effect when it comes to recruiting. You saw it with, you know, there's receivers and corners that a lot of times they'd like to play together because, well, there's that competition in practice. You saw that with Kim Dichie and Tunsil, that they were wanting to go up against each other in practice. And then you see, you know, if you're a top-flight receiver, it doesn't matter how good you are if you don't have a quarterback who can throw you the football. You saw Calvin Johnson when John Kitna was throwing him the football. Wasn't as good as he was now that he has Matt Stafford. And so they want to see, you know, who's the quarterback that's going to be thrown to me. If you're a linebacker, you want to see a defensive lineman. Who's going to be opening up spaces for me? And so not having anyone really, a lot of guys on board early that could, you know, help, all right, there's a guy that I'm going to be playing with. There's a guy who can help me out. And also, those player recruiters, those type of guys can work wonders. I mean, the coaches can do a lot, but getting those players who can recruit other players, like what Shea Patterson has been doing, that's it pays huge dividends to have a guy like that. And not having a lot of guys on board early that are vocal recruiters and are difference makers who other guys can point to and say, all right, if we go in the class with him, then we can do something special. I certainly think that's hurt Mississippi State. And having a guy like Lashley, who everyone in the world thought and still thinks is going to go to Mississippi State, but taking all these visits and taking it down to the wire, that's I'm sure Dan Mullen is not too pleased about all that.
Let's take a look at the state of Mississippi's 247 sports composite ratings. And let's look at the top 25 guys in the state of Mississippi and where they have committed so far, and then the guys who aren't committed and where they could possibly end up by next Wednesday. Ole Miss has 5 commitments from the top 25 players in the state right now. Mississippi State has 2. Ole Miss has a commitment from the number 2 player in Benito Jones, the number 6 player in DeKalen Metcalf, the number 7 player in Octavius Cooley, the number 11 player in Justin Connor, and the number 14 player in Eli Johnson. That is what Ole Miss has at this point from the Magnolia State's 2016 group. Mississippi State has a commitment from the number 9 player, Marquis Spencer, and my computer froze up here on me. That's just lovely. I know Greg Island is committed to the Bulldogs as well. At number 23. So that's what you're looking at right there. They have number 9 and 23. Ole Miss has 2, 6, 7, 11, and 14. And then there are the uncommitted. The number 1 player in the state, Jeffrey Simmons. And I have said now for months that I think Ole Miss leads. I talked to some sources yesterday. I don't think anything has changed on that front. Jeffrey will come to Oxford this weekend. I fully think he will sign with Ole Miss on National Signing Day. With that said, you got to understand, there is going to be drama. Mississippi State will not go down without a fight, and as I understand it, he is Alabama's number 1 priority on their defensive line as well. So, Jeffrey Simmons, we think, a leaning to Ole Miss. That would give the Rebels the number 1 prospect in the state. Number 3, A.J. Brown, Starkville native, as we mentioned. Who's leading right now? I don't know. I got a feeling Alabama may be out front. Ole Miss is definitely in it, and I'm almost to the point where I think A.J. Brown has ruled Mississippi State out. You can't discount what his zip code is. But at the same time, though, everything I'm hearing, and this is from both sides of the Ole Miss Mississippi State fence, is that A.J. Brown's not going to play football in Starkville, Mississippi. Now, 2-sport athlete, A.J. is a pro prospect in baseball. He's going to college. But will he play college baseball? I was told this morning by a very, very good Mississippi State source that A.J. Brown has never met with John Cohen, Mississippi State's baseball coach. And that source told me that tells him everything he needs to know. If he's planning on playing baseball, don't you think he would have met with the Mississippi State coach? Also, there have been meetings scheduled, and A.J. has never found time to make it to those meetings with the MSU baseball coach, is what I am being told. So, Alabama or Ole Miss for A.J. Brown, that looks like the scenario as things stand today on January 28th. Nigel Knight. We talked about Nigel a little bit already. You know, his recruitment has been one of the most difficult ones to get a feel for. Dave, at one time I felt like it was Oregon, then I felt like it was Alabama. Mm-hmm. There was a brief period where I actually felt like it was Mississippi State, and then right here at the end, I get the vibe that it could possibly be Ole Miss. Dave, you followed Nigel's recruitment a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm right there with you, David. It's been hard to predict, over the course of his recruitment. I was one with you. At one time, I had him crystal ball to Oregon, then Alabama. I went foggy on a prediction with not, after here just recently, I changed that prediction to Ole Miss because I'm hearing the same thing that you're hearing that, you know, within the Ole Miss camp, they feel very, very good about Nigel Knott, if not possibly a lead for Knott at this point. And, you know, Michael even interacted with this earlier, saying, you know, possible some hidden message out there in the Twitter world of, you know, he pointed out himself, you know, he's going to be spending, you know, his birthday wrapping up an official visit to Ole Miss, where he was born in Oxford. So that is where I stick with it, is, you know, just like you, those sources that we're hearing that Ole Miss has, you know, feels pretty good where they stand with Knott right now.
His daddy, a former captain on the Ole Miss football team as well. That's something that I think all of the Ole Miss fans realize that, but that's not reported very much in other mediums with other schools that are recruiting him. He also has a sister that runs track at Mississippi State. So, you know, there are some connections there. We'll see what happens. It's what makes it so exciting this time of the year. Kobe Jones, listen, everything I'm hearing on Kobe Jones is that Kobe really, really likes Ole Miss. And I think if Kobe Jones had been from Yazoo City, Mississippi, or Ruleville, Mississippi, or pick your spot, Mississippi, he would already be in this Ole Miss class. But he's not. He lives in Starkville, Mississippi. And one of my Ole Miss sources kind of pointed something out to me earlier this week. Kobe actually lives in town in Starkville, in a neighborhood, surrounded by Mississippi State fans. AJ lives out of town on a farm. Closest neighbor is probably 100-150 yards down the street. But when you start talking about expectations, hometown expectations, and they are there in Starkville for both of those young men to be Bulldogs, you know, does that factor in a little bit, that you got to walk out in your front yard when you live in town and you got a state fan on the left, a state on the right, a state fan across the road from you? And that's what you're looking at with Kobe Jones is, you know, and going to announce at Starkville High School, which I'm certain would be full of Mississippi State fans. It's just natural. Mississippi State's in Starkville. There's going to be a lot of Bulldog fans there. It comes down to that date. I mean, I'm telling you, that, you know, no matter what you hear on Kobe and how well Ole Miss seems to have positioned themselves for him, I think seeing is believing in this case. You know, there's going to be a lot written, a lot of notes, a lot of intel between now and next Wednesday regarding him in particular, but we're not going to know. I promise you, we're not going to know until pen hits paper Wednesday at Starkville High School where Kobe Jones is going to play his college football. And that's kind of setting the stage in the state of Mississippi right now. Ole Miss went out early, got five of the guys they wanted in state. Fully expect Jeffrey Simmons to be that sixth guy. And then after that, we're just going to have to kind of put it in neutral, look around, can try to figure it out. But we're not going to know until Wednesday on the two Starkville guys. I think we'll know something Monday on Nigel Knott. But that's kind of the way it's shaping up right now. Michael, a little bit of hope, so to speak, according to sources. Hugh Freeze had an excellent visit with Jonathan Conbo. And then he takes the Ole Miss airplane to Canada to go and see Conbo's father. And I understand that visit went very, very well, according to sources. And Ole Miss feeling like they're in it, and perhaps in it really, really good, for the nation's number one junior college prospect, Jonathan Conbo. Michael, I know you know a little bit about Jonathan. How big of a deal would that be for Ole Miss to be able to add Jonathan Conbo to their defensive line rotation? And, you know, you don't recruit JUCOs to redshirt them. Very rarely does that happen. Happened with Akeem Judd. Conbo would not be expected to redshirt. He'd be expected to be a part of that Landshark defensive line rotation right off the bat. Michael, how big would that be for Ole Miss to be able to pair him up with Benito Jones and DJ Jones and Breland Speaks and Fadal Brown and Marquise Ames?
Well, first of all, if you need anyone to recite the Sky Mall magazine to you, I think Hugh Freeze would be the right guy to do it. I'm sure he knows everything about the cotton candy maker they have in there. He's logging a lot of Sky Miles traveling around the country and going up to Canada. But
I think he's the only coach that has gone to Canada. I have seen no reports of anybody else recruiting Jonathan Kongbo of crossing the international border and going into Canada to see his parents. I could be very wrong on that, but I think if Putz Jones was flying up to British Columbia, it'd probably be all over the UT Vol Twitter world. I haven't seen anything like that. Freeze may be the first one to get up there. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think half the coaches in the SEC are allowed to leave the country. I think Canada would stop them at the border for some of the reputations. But I think Kongbo would be a huge addition to that defensive line, and he's not being asked to star right away. You mentioned a lot of guys like Fadal Brown and Isaac Gross and Breland Speaks, Youngblood, all these guys that you have such a deep defensive line that there's a lot of rotations, a lot of fresh bodies getting out there. And adding a guy like Kongbo is just another fresh body, another guy that's ultra-talented. Very strong, and he would bring a lot to that defensive front, and you'd see the Rushmen get even stronger next year.
You know, if you were building your team on Xbox, your college football team, and you were making up names for your players, I think I would name a defensive lineman Kongbo. I mean, that the name just sounds intimidating, does it not?
He's first guy off the bus right there.
You better believe it. That's a name that strikes fear into quarterbacks, I would think, automatically. But that's kind of where we stand right now. You know, there are some national targets. Ole Miss is still in on Mike Juarez, the five-star linebacker out of Torrance, California. I found out earlier today he took an unofficial visit with his parents to UCLA yesterday. That's not a big surprise. You figured he would make it over there in some capacity this week. He did yesterday, is still scheduled to officially visit BYU this weekend, and then we'll find out on Wednesday what Mike Juarez is doing. Alabama was trending heavily earlier this week. I'm not sure I buy it, though. Naturally, they're going to get a bump. The family spent the weekend in Tuscaloosa. Saban follows them home to California. He's out there on Monday. Of course, Alabama's going to get a bump right there, but I still think it's a UCLA Ole Miss deal in the end, and right now I'm just leaning a little bit towards Juarez staying at home and becoming a UCLA Bruin. And Dave, the reason I'm there, it's common sense. His mom and dad never made the visit to Oxford.
I'm getting to that point of, you know, I agree with you, David, and we talked about this yesterday. Common sense, you know, explains the atmosphere surrounding that, and ever since his official visit to LSU, the sources within and what we have been saying all along is they want to get the parents there to see Ole Miss, and you know that looks like that is not going to be the case with less than a week until National Signing Day. And then there's reports in there that Juarez could take an unofficial visit to UCLA again. And you know, with this not seeing Ole Miss, I just don't see that. In my gut feeling, I don't see that as a positive vibe for the Rebels right now.
Yeah, and I'm kind of there too. Michael, as far as Juarez goes, your thoughts?
You know, a lot of folks say that football is a game of inches. You can see how much recruiting is a game of inches, that if two people, if there were two open seats on that flight when Juarez came for his official visit for his parents, then it could have possibly swung the whole recruitment. So whoever the two folks from L.A. that really just wanted to get some Memphis barbecue for the weekend, maybe the difference between Mike Juarez signing with Ole Miss and signing with UCLA or Alabama. But I'm right there with y'all. It would it seems like Mike really enjoyed the Ole Miss experience and is really taking Ole Miss seriously as a candidate. But not having your parents being able to see the campus, not everything is like Sean Curtis, who you know, took his official visit via Skype and never set foot on campus before attending Ole Miss. But it's not giving a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings. It's certainly still a possibility, but I would have to say I'm leaning towards him staying with UCLA.
Just recapping what we opened with, some news that Devon Penniman, the Ole Miss running back commit out of Manvel, Texas, he tells Rebels 247, contrary to reports that were out there earlier this morning from another network, that he will, in fact, take his official visit to Oxford, plans on arriving here on Friday. So that's good news for Rebel fans who are hoping that Ole Miss can hold on to a very, very talented running back. And you know how Devon Penniman, you know how you know he's good? Number one, you watch his film. But number two, you look around and you see that Alabama, Arkansas, and Texas A&M all made him a priority down the stretch run. So certainly good news for Ole Miss that he is coming to Oxford this weekend. And, you know, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you hope the coaching staff and the visit will be able to shore everything up. And he'll leave on Sunday with the staff having some level of confidence that that he's going to stick to it and sign his letter of intent with Ole Miss on Wednesday. There will be some drama Monday and Tuesday surrounding Penniman, no matter what happens on the visit this weekend. You can bet. I mean, Texas A&M is in it, and he's from the state of Texas, so that's definitely coming up. Dave, one question for you as we effort towards wrapping this one up. Elvis, is he alive or dead?
Elvis is dead physically, but alive spiritually.
I can take that. I think Elvis is very much alive in the metaphysical point of view, I suppose. hey, one thing I did want to point out, it's worth pointing out before we depart today, and I'm sure you guys caught this last night, but Ole Miss offered a 2017 quarterback out of the state of California. And you're going, oh, man, here we go again. We're out on the West Coast trying to recruit a California kid to come to Mississippi. His name is Tristan Jebbia. Tristan Jebbia.
Name should sound familiar.
It should sound familiar because his daddy is an Ole Miss Rebel, played tight end for the Rebels back in the late 80s, has a famous catch and a comeback win over Tulane in the Superdome. And Dan Werner might have just gone out there and found his quarterback for the 2017 class. You know, there are a lot of people who kind of presumed that Ole Miss would not be able to pull in an elite quarterback in the 17 class behind Shea Patterson, simply because of, well, you got Shea Patterson in town. But they may have maybe kind of stepped in it a little bit, stepped in the good stuff a little bit here, in that Jebbia is a 2017 kid, and he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in America in the 2017 class. So I want to throw that out there before we depart, because we will turn our attention full-fledged, seems so far away, but it's right around the corner, to that 2017 class next Thursday. I promise you, we're going to be hammering you with some 2017 stuff that'll make you shake in your boots a little bit. There's some good things about to happen for Ole Miss in their one-man 2017 class. I got a feeling that it's going to be growing shortly after National Signing Day. So that's going to do it for us today. Michael, any closing thoughts?
Well, let's not forget that that Tristan has a couple of key teammates out there as well, the number one corner for the 2017 class, as well as Keyshawn Johnson Jr., who's already been to the Ole Miss campus, I'm pretty sure. So there's going to be a lot more flying next year, a lot of California kids coming up next year as well. And I'm just ready for next Thursday so we can all get some sleep.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Dave, closing thoughts.
I'm with Michael, you know, the sleep. And, you know, it right now, getting back home, we got back home today from the hospital. I can't express enough how pleasant it is to be back in your bed. 'Cause a couch or a chair that folds out into a bed in a hospital for 2 days, it is not comfortable whatsoever. But family, my wife and newborn son Nolan, we're back home. Baby's healthy, wife's healthy, and we're both just glad to be back home and eager to start our new journey together. And National Signing Day around the corner, so going to be right there with you guys, ready to give the full coverage of Ole Miss heading into National Signing Day right here on Rebels 247.
All right. Well, that's where it stands right now on this Thursday, January 28th, 6 days away from, I guess you could call it. And, again, never seen a cycle quite like this where there's so much drama right here at the end. I want to encourage you to log on to Rebels247.com as much as possible. On the Rebel Rise, we'll keep you updated in real-time updates throughout the day. Usually begin those around 6:30, 6:45 a.m. in the morning, and they tend to end somewhere around midnight when I have to doze off and sleep for a few hours before I get up and do it again. Feel like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day around here. I can't differentiate days. I honestly did not know it was Thursday until it just popped up on my computer screen. But that's okay. It's a lot of fun to cover this for you guys, and we really appreciate all of you joining our vibrant online community of Ole Miss fans, and it is our honor and privilege to be able to report the news to you. So for Day 7, the new Papa, Michael Quirk, not a Papa yet, I'm David Johnson. Thank you for joining us, and as always, hotty cotty.